Yeah. Can you understand that? But okay. Listen,
because ultimately, what you have to do is you need to ring fence the most vulnerable.
The strategy is
one that is familiar.
The late owner, Al Barsi, used to say he can't make no promises unless he said the book. Mm-hmm. And that what Miss Motley should have done.
But you
understand that the cost of living in gas does a 12% on gas,
Sir, the cost of living in Barbados is already high. I don't really know.
So
that.
What alternative, sir? You tell me, what alternative did we have? If we didn't get rid of the NSRL, what alternative would we have?
By the way, I was the first person at calling on this program about the abolition of the road tax and putting in the gasoline. I spoke to that with Dennis Johnson. I wanted no more than a 5 or 6% raise on the gasoline. I said I would have still left a registration tax in place, that those cars that paying $400 a year would pay a registration each year of $50. The big SUV that paying $1,600 then would pay $200. So I looking to break down, and then I would put whatever increase I put on the gasoline, I would put it on all lubricants. That's when you're going to buy a 2 pint or a liter of oil, transmission fluid, brake fluid, whatever, to get breakdown to between 5 to 6%. They didn't do it that way. They're going to put a 12%, which is too much on the average person. That is too much. So business players and people that delivery truck taxi men say that can't absorb $1.60 per a gallon of gas. Them going out at 12%. I the first boy, Dennis Johnson can tell you, I the first boy that calling since 2 years ago, and I talked to that up to February this year, I think the Dale Valley. That is too much. I the first boy that raised it, I believe Mr. Maskell hear me, and he come up with it.
Sir, I can tell you that was one of the considerations.
Yeah, but not 2 years ago. I told you that I raised it 2 years ago. Mr. Johnson told it about 3 or 4 times on the calling program.
Yeah, I heard you and I understand what you're saying. Dennis
is supposed to go a good memory.
But the point I'm making to you is that if you want the kudos to say that you're raising somebody here, you'll be fine.
I am saying to you that
is one of the considerations that was discussed at different levels by economists over a period of time. Hold on. You have to remember that there's a lot of things that are done locally are not new. Okay? I'm not saying that you did not raise it on the air. All I'm saying is that this is one of the things that was discussed over a period of time. And I'm aware of that in different fora. It has just never really been brought up, because what the last government did is, and if you remember, when the DLP came to power, there was a lot of money owing to I think it's BNTCL, because the BLP, what they had done is they had kept oil prices, petroleum prices steady. So that meant that they built up a lot of debt. So the last government had to put a cess on and a few other things to get rid of that debt. You remember that?
I remember.
So therefore, and I remember from even back then, people were talking about this, about putting the tax on the fuel. But because you had to clear that debt first, that was one of the considerations. The point I was trying to make to you, because people are saying here that I don't sound as balanced as usual, because I'm saying that I'm not allowing the gentleman to make the point that if you've made a lot of promises of largesse, and the last government all the time was saying, where is Miss Motley going to get the money from? All the point I was trying to make to you, sir, is that every party, when in election mode, makes a number of promises. Okay? I remember back in 1986, I remember that so well, when Mrs. Harbinar St. John was saying that the promises being made by the DLP could not It could not work. It could not happen. And we were all saying, ah, he's talking foolishness. And we all went out and voted the Barbados Labour Party. Okay? We as a country, we voted the Barbados Labour Party. We brought in the Democratic Labour Party. And we saw what happened there.
Right. So then Ms. Molly should have learned from that too.
We also saw, just let me finish. We also saw in 1991 what happened when Mr. Sandiford was saying that the economy was batting like sobers and bowling somebody else, and how the economy was performing well. And the BLP, as well as the NDP, Dr. Richie Haynes, Sir Richard Haynes, was saying that it wasn't so. You remember that too?
Hold on.
1991. Hold on. Let me take it incrementally. In 1991, you remember when they said that?
I'm saying then she should learn from all these others.
And back then in 1991, when it was being said that what Mr. Sandiford was saying was incorrect, we saw in... Within six months after Mr. Sandiford got into power, he had to go to the IMF, which Mr. Bascom, who called earlier, seems to have forgotten. Okay? Conveniently so.
Also, I could go on in
1994.
Please, you're doing all the talking.
I called in to raise the thing
and you take over. Everything, you can let me have my say, or yes or no.
All right, you have your last word.
All I'm saying, the last government to introduce what we call the solid waste tax, that was a big hullabaloo. Now this government come and introduce a waste and garbage collection tax. But that's actually the same thing. That's actually the same thing. Only it's different now that you had an option that you could refuse to pay your solid waste tax. You can't do that now because it's on the water bill now.
If it's an optional tax, it ain't a good tax. You don't agree?
But all I'm saying that the last government was condemned for bringing about the solid waste tax. Now you introduce it. The same thing, but in a different form.
No, but sir, I was one of the people who was opposed to the solid waste tax. And my basis of opposition to the solid waste tax was several things. One is that it was a one-off tax. It was collected annually. It was assessed on the value of your home, which in my opinion is unfair.
Yeah, I didn't agree to it. Hold on a second.
And those were the other considerations. And then the most ridiculous part of it is that it was a difficult tax to collect because there were people who said publicly and privately, I'm not paying it. And there was nothing that they could do to enforce compliance.
So the point is that
you now have a tax which is difficult for you not to pay, and it's easier for you to pay it because you're looking at $1.50 a day. And invariably, at the end of the month, it will be easier on your pocket than the one-off thing. It's not based on the value of your home or the size of your bill. It's based on per head charge for household. And you don't have the option not to pay it. If you don't pay it, they just turn off your water.
But that was telling you. So
but then it's a good tax.
That's $540.
But that's a good tax then. So you agree with me it's a good tax?
That is not $540 more per year.
Sir, is it not a good tax because it answers those questions?
It's easier to pay
in that it's monthly and not annually. It's not a lump sum. It's more equitable in that people who have big houses don't automatically pay more. And you don't have the option not to pay.
Mr. Wickham?
Yes, sir.
It's not a good tax because the average fella household that pay $32 a month for water now have to pay $77.
Right. Well, it's a better tax for me because if you could see the bill that I was given when the solid waste tax was a lot less than paying now.
You understand that that's 1.5 times some people's present bill?
But sir, the point is that you're looking at it in one way.
No, I can be fair. Right.
I'll let you finish off because Sanka said already that you should have the final word. So.
At the former government, they come and do these things, might be hullabaloo about here.
Yeah.
the commenting and people saying they shouldn't comment on the budget. With the office, as the present government began in and said them is who got things to occur there. It was only obvious, don't mind they ain't get a seat, but still got to comment.
Mm-hmm.
They still got to make their analysis of the budget. What people going on for, they still got to say something. I always remember that the church and the media was called upon to be the opposition when the Democrat Labour Party beat the thing in 86, 24 to 3. The public, I know I hear nobody saying that they're going to be the opposition now that we ain't got no opposition. I hope you all in the media will do your job. The church and the unions and everybody, I hope they will do their job. Because we don't have an opposition, so you all should play a part. Same way, remember when it was...
But sir, they do have an opposition. There's an opposition leader, and nobody here is saying, nobody, certainly Peter and I are not saying that the Democratic...
Hold on.
We have not said that the Democratic Labour Party should not be saying anything. So don't say that. Because I, for one, would you hold on?
I said people, you got callers.
All right.
And you said but, that you got some people on the thing.
But I can have the final word here now, right? I certainly believe that the Democratic Labour Party has a right to be speaking out on every matter in this country. However, the point that is being made is that they need, and it is in their interest, if they would explain to the country why they brought things to the point that they brought them to. Why did they think that they lose? They need to explain themselves to the country first. In other words, put yourself in front of the country and say, look, we recognize a number of things went wrong, X, Y, and Z, and then they can move on. People just need to hear that first. And that's the point that Peter Wickham was making. Okay? Anyhow, we go to the next call. Try to get in one more call before we go to the latest. You're on the air. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
How are you today, sir?
I'm pretty good, you know. Now, listen. I want to say something quick before I go to my real point, because it's going to be very fast. Now, your last caller, he must understand that when Mayor Motley bring this budget to the people, even prior to that, she outlined the mess that we were in. And this budget was not supposed to be a giveaway budget. She asked everyone or told everyone that they have to make a sacrifice. So when I hear he can't be that nonsense, you got to dismiss him. So I don't understand you foolishly talking. It was not supposed to be a giveaway budget because of the mess that they create for this country. Now, the former Minister Stephen Lashley, I heard him comment on the fuel tax. And he said it was a brainless imposition that was imposed on people in this country. Now, this same Stephen Lashley and also Donvin Innes as members of Parliament and Verla de Pisa as a former senator, they support over 8 homegrown measures that was brought to this country by the former Minister of Finance, which failed. Every single one failed, and they continue along that line in supporting those measures. I don't want you to understand that the people of this country has voted and give the Barbados Labour Party with the leader, Mayor Morley, the opportunity to carry this country forward, and she come with proposals to lift this country out of the mess that they leave us in. And they must recognize that they must also respect the wishes of the people of this country instead of trying to impose themselves on people. That is why the people give the Barbados Labour Party 30 seats, simply because they don't want to see one single them in the Parliament to be obstacles in the Mayor Morley's government way. And they need to respect the wishes of the people. I thank you, Mr. Price.
All right. Thank you very much. We have to go to the latest. Dennis, how much time we have? We can read one. Okay, I'm here trying to respond to somebody here. This lady is Miss Undecided. A new party, what? Why are y'all focusing on the DLP? Is this a strategy? Election over and y'all still campaigning. A new party and you all should, a new party in, and you all should focus on them and stop crossing people, and you don't want to hear that against, sorry, and you don't want to hear that against the budget and the ones for the budget you're not crossing. The Yelp, you don't have to explain nothing. All of them lose seats. The caller now explained to you. Okay, Miss Undecided, I've just read your message.
Miss.
The Miss Undecided or Miss Decided.
Leave my girl, don't trouble my girl at all.
So I've just read your message as disjointed as it was. Anyhow, we have to go to the latest. So please rejoin us after the 12:30 news.
In the lunchtime edition, as the budget debate continues, Health Minister Colonel Jeffrey Bostic tells Parliament of a critical bed shortage at the QEH and outlines a $60 million plan to fix the healthcare system. Meantime, with the budget expected to take a big bite out of people's spending power just as crop over heats up, the spokesman for band leaders and masqueraders explains why he thinks Bajans will still be spending big bucks. And the general secretary of the NUPW dismisses criticism of their acceptance of a 5% pay hike from government, saying something is better than nothing, and nothing is what the previous government offered. Good afternoon. I'm Stetson Babb. This is The Latest.
The Lunchtime Edition, in association with ICBL, always there when you need us most, and a CIBC First Caribbean Banking that fits your life. When we
welcome back to Brass Tacks. This is Sanka Price here with you, along with Peter Wickham and Dennis Johnson. And we finish at 1 o'clock, so we have, 16 minutes to go. Let's take a call before we wrap up. You're on the air. Good afternoon.
Mr. Price?
Yes, you are. Good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon to you all. Well, you posed the question just about an hour ago, what would motivate the Democratic Labour Party to be speaking at this time? Do you say that?
Sorry, could you repeat? I didn't quite hear you.
You said, you asked a question about an hour ago, now why the Democratic Labour Party would be motivated to speak at this time?
I didn't ask that question. I can't remember. What I said, what I was trying to say is that the Democratic Labour Party has a right to speak at this time, but they also should address the issues that the public would be concerned about before they speak. In fact, that's something that we were discussing here.
But they have
a right to speak nearly 40,000 people voted for them.
That's right.
So they have a right to speak, without a doubt.
This is a 63-year-old party that got the second highest number of votes in the turnout, the 60% turnout. We championed and, of course, engineered most of the social legislation that transformed this country from a collection.
That's not actually correct. That's not correct.
What is that?
Don't. Okay. That is not far from the truth.
What is that? That the Democratic Labour Party didn't champion the most of the social legislation in Barbados?
That's not that true. Is not true.
But tell me what the Barbados Labour Party did that would have eclipsed.
I can just deal between 1976 and 1985.
Family law act, abortion, termination of pregnancy bill, the
territories,
the
freehold.
Freehold purchase. I mean, those are the three that come to mind immediately. I don't know if.
But we could talk about the Maintenance Act, which was extended, the Succession Act. But anyhow, just deal with the issue you want to deal with.
Let me speak, though. You all are post-independence babies, and obviously it's affecting your brains. Y'all are all, don't you know anything about the National Insurance Social Security Act is the axle on which all of those things revolve, don't you know?
And the National Security, the whole survey for the National Security was done under Sir Grantley Adams. Come on.
Oh, give me a break, Mr.
Look, the point is, the government is a continuity. So if you want to go down this area, I will take you on. I have no problem with taking you on, but I'm sure you call to talk about something else. So speak about what you call about.
Let's not argue about that, because you will lose the argument.
If you say so, but I am primed and ready.
Was it conked, though? Was it conked in terms of legislation?
In terms of legislation? Yeah. Well, I'm sorry I did not list them for you, because certainly nothing the Barbados Labour Party could have done in terms of social legislation could eclipse what the Democratic Labour Party did.
Which was?
There's no question about that.
Which was?
But let me tell you. What?
No, but which was? What did they do specifically?
I am sorry, did not list it. Next time.
But no, but then do that. Tell us. But list it now. Take the opportunity now to do it.
All right, I will come again.
But we asked you but for. We gave you three, so you can give us now, please.
In terms of.
Social legislation.
National insurance. They introduced. The Barbados Workers Union, the Workers Union legislation. There is a raft of legislation that does not.
When you say Barbados Workers Union legislation, what do you mean? Because much of the early legislation was introduced was under Grantley Adams, because he and Sir Hugh Springer were the ones behind the Workers Union, and Frank Walcott came in afterwards, and Frank Walcott was the lieutenant for the Hugh Springer. So what are you saying? Look. I would suggest, huh? Instead, you generalize, you focus on what you want to say.
As I said,
I primed and ready, because that's history and that's areas that I've done my research in.
That the Democratic Labour Party will not be silenced, because as far as I know, we have already been punished. We have already been wiped out for all of our sins and all of our transgressions. Mm-hmm. So therefore, we as an established 63-year-old party will continue to have a voice in this country.
Yeah, but if you're going to get biblical, my understanding is that an important part of the repentance process, a important part of the absolution process is to repent. So when you go for your thing, I'm not Catholic, but when you go for your absolution, the first thing you do is you confess of your sins. You say your Hail Marys, and then absolution is granted. The challenge is that y'all want to get the absolution without having said the Hail Marys and not repenting of your sins. So my thing is, the first thing you got to do as a Dem is you got to repent.
Punish for our sins.
No, but the punishment, the punishment has come before the repentance. So my thing is now repent and then the absolution. The absolution will be given.
Certainly the repentance that we will advance will not be before people like yourself or Mr. Price.
Right, but then repent before the people of Barbados.
But you cannot tell us when to repent. You cannot tell us when to repent. We have our way of doing things.
So you will repent eventually in your own time and in your own place.
You will just have to wait. The people of Barbados understood what we were doing, and they have...
Clearly they didn't.
They have punished us.
Sir, clearly they did not.
Let me tell you something else. We are not going to remain silent in this country.
Are you sure?
As far as I know, none of the Democratic Labour Party ministers didn't thief the money from the government.
Really?
No. Do you know something else that you don't know?
I don't know. Can I see Dennis reaching for the button? So.
You better reach your button. I hear a lot of talk about a lot of things coming from your mouth and the other people's mouth
that the Democratic Labour Party
ministers stole money.
I never thought anything about thiefing.
But
sir, you would recall. You would recall. The last time I was on the air, we had this long conversation about the Old Testament and the New Testament. And I was of the New Testament variety, and I said, let's not concern ourselves with who thief and how much the thief. Let's concern ourselves with turning the other cheek and moving on as a country. I said that. I was harshly criticized by them for saying it.
I want to get this out of the way. To your mind, did any of the Democratic Labour Party members thief money?
I can't answer that question. I don't know.
So, okay, good.
I don't know. It's a
tease. All right. What about Mr. Price?
So, to my mind, that's not even the issue.
Well, speak up, I can't hear y'all. It's a jumble.
Hello.
He couldn't teeth anything. He had nothing.
Sir, that is not.
Mr. Price, are you saying that any of the Democrats?
Sir, that is not the issue.
What is the issue?
I am not in a position to say anything of that sort, and I never would say anything of that sort.
No, neither would you encourage callers to say that.
I cannot tell callers what to say, but what we do, as you would recognize, is as soon as they cross that mark, the public doesn't hear what they say.
So you are clear in your mind that there was no teething by the last government.
Excuse me. As far as I am concerned, I have to see evidence of everything. That is how I operate normally. And as far as I am concerned, until the evidence comes, I will not even venture down there. What I am dealing... Hold on. What I am talking about, and singularly what I am talking about, the Democratic Labour Party needs to speak out. I've said that twice. But I will also say this, that they need to recognize that if you have been rejected so soundly as you have been, there's a reason for it. And when they come to the public to say something, they should also clarify their position on a number of issues that happened before. And that is all that we are trying to say. And what I find is happening here with yourself and another caller before is that you're trying to make it seem that we are against the Democratic Labour Party when we are not.
But you're doing a very poor job.
No, that is the impression that you all are trying to give. And that is what you're trying to push.
You are doing a poor job at not presenting that picture. You all are definitely against
I have come to recognize, right, that when it comes to talking to some people, if they believe that it is the sky is black, don't care how you try to show them the sky is blue, they can believe it or won't believe. And you are one of those. I want to thank you very much for calling. Sir, have a great day. It is a pity that some people just would not try to understand that everything, that just because somebody doesn't say what you want them to say, that doesn't mean that they're against you. Because as far as I am concerned, and I'm sure Peter, I dare not speak for Peter, but I'm sure Peter, I can say this on his behalf, the Democratic Labour Party is a great institution and they have done a lot for this country and they have a lot to contribute in the future. That is how Sanka Price feels about it. And I'm sure Peter Wickham feels that way about it as well. And all we are saying is that before you come to castigate the budget or anything like that and just put down what and put down any negatives against the what is happening now, you need to have an explanation of what you did. I think it's timely. It is a necessity. That is just my view. You don't have to agree.
I agree.
Let's try to see if we get one more call in before we leave at one. You're on the air. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, young lady.
Hi, this is the first time I'm calling. But the gentleman that just last caller, I want to know if he's like Alice in Wonderland. He need to go back to Disney, to be honest with you, because I mean, he's there trying to put words in y'all mouth, stating that y'all, if y'all would say this and say that, which is a bunch of nonsense. But my contribution is, to be honest, it is really hard. But I know our Prime Minister is trying the best to, trying her best to put things, you know, in perspective for all of us. And as she said, it's a burden for all of us, and each of us got to share it. It is really hard for me, so I am going to find it, make it possible to work my budget differently, to be able to help, to be honest. And I appreciate the goodness that she and everybody else is trying to do in the BLT. That's my contribution.
Before you go, young lady, tell me something. How is this additional amount of money on your, like, for paying for water? How is that going to impact on your household on a monthly basis?
To be honest, it's going to be really, really hard. But I have to adjust my budget now to suit, to be honest. But that's at least the best I can do. I got to adjust it.
So you think,
don't worry, I'll find a way.
So you think that this is a contribution that you'll be making to towards the whole development of the country then? Or?
Yes, I am. But I feel by rights, somebody should be meant to pay for the suffering and the pain that we got to endure. You understand? I don't have a problem with it. It's going to be hard, but I'm going to find a way, to be honest with you. But I feel that we need to make somebody pay for all this that we're going through.
So your concern really, tell me if I'm right or wrong here. What I'm sensing is that you're concerned that you went through a period of austerity under the last government, but you really can't see why you went through it. Is that what you're basically saying?
To be honest, I can't see why we went through it. I mean, to be honest, the first year that the D's was in, I helped put them there. The second time, I didn't vote because I was frustrated, but this time I had to take them out. To be honest, because, I mean, they're doing things, we're not seeing what they're doing. The money they're getting, the profits from the taxes and all sorts of things, yet still, we still have a backload of, I mean, we in debt. And it's so hurtful to see that, I mean, we are poor and everybody's struggling to make ends meet. And at the end of the day, we depending on them. We put them there to help us. And at the end of the day, this is what we get in return.
So what would you like?
Hurtful.
So what would you like to hear from the DLP right now?
I would like to hear why we are in the position we are in, and what have they done with all the money. That's what I would like to know. I would like them to each and every one of them to come on air and explain to us Barbadians why we are in the situation that we are in today. Every time I talk about it right now, it gives me goosebumps because I still can't believe it. It's going to be honest, it's really hard because as a single parent, I have a daughter, she's studying to be a vet. And I can't even begin to explain, but don't worry. With God's help, we'll make it. I'll make it. I'll try to make it with his help.
All right, thank you, my dear, and all the best to you. Peter, I leave the last word to you.
All right, well, thank you for letting me sit here with you this morning in the chat. I think that we definitely made some good progress. We got some calls. People seem to be concerned about the fact that the Dems have not really come in the way that they should have come. And I can only hope that we have some slightly more enlightened discourse as we go forward regarding the past. I think that it's clear the DLP has a role to play in opposition politics and also in commenting on what's happening. But there are a couple of things that need to happen first. Special thanks to the production team. We have Mr. KB Clean in one booth, and we have Mr. Dennis Johnson in the other booth. And in between us were myself, Peter Wickham, and Mr. Sanko Price. So thank you for being with us and for all the calls and the interaction. I'm with you on Tuesday. Sanko, I believe, is with you tomorrow. Sunday. I'm sorry. Sanko is with you on Sunday. So until then, do take care.